Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. And today we have a special guest, Adam Lean. Adam is a former accountant, which he hated, turned small business owner, which he loves. And he started his first business 13 years ago, and things started off great. However, things started not going so great, and he was working a ton of hours in his business, which I think we can all relate to. And he was not making any progress. And the problem was he lacked a plan. He lacked a solid strategy to have a growing and profitable business. He was working a lot, but on the wrong things. Fast forward a decade, Adam and his team help hardworking business owners create a solid strategy so that they can have a growing and more profitable business. All right, Adam, well, I'm looking forward to having this interview because I think your story and what you do relates exactly to what this audience needs. But before we get into the details, how did you get into this line of work of being a kind of a business strategist?
Yeah. So just like you mentioned, I graduated college with an accounting degree and I thought, hey, I'll become an accountant. And I got a job, started working for the first couple of months, it was okay. And then it got to be incredibly boring because I'm the type of person that likes to get my hands dirty and work in the business and help the business. As you know, accountants, I love accountants out there, but all they do is record what happened in the past. That's their job. They record what happened in the past. I wanted to help a business or the company I was working for improve, but I was sort of stuck in a box. So at night and on the weekends, I started my own business. It was an e-commerce store. And within probably the first 12, 24 months, it grew very rapidly. In fact, for the first 4 years, it grew really rapidly sales-wise, which was great. The problem was, profit-wise, my profit margin every single year was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, being an accounting, having an accounting background, being an accountant, I knew that was a problem. The problem was, I had nobody to turn to help me figure this out. It was frustrating because I had nobody to turn to. Second thing, I was frustrated because I was an accountant. I should be able to figure this out. But regardless, I knew what the main problems were. So I was able to dig in and figure it out over the course of a couple of years. It was really difficult. It was an uphill climb, but I felt like I was doing it by myself. In fact, I was doing it by myself. I tried getting my bookkeeper to help, accountant to help. They were largely useless because that's not what they're getting paid for. I mean, that's just simply not. I tried to get advice from friends and family, and even though they wanted to help, they just weren't in the business, and they really didn't have great advice. So because I was able to somewhat overcome my hurdles, I started coaching and consulting with other businesses that owned small businesses at the time and realized they were having the exact same types of problems. The difference was they didn't have the accounting or financial background to figure it out. And so the way I was showing them how I figured it out, it was an eye opener for them because I was approaching things from a profit standpoint. And the whole point of a business is to make a profit, which turns into cash that you get to keep. You could give it away. You could give it all of it away. It doesn't matter. The fact remains that the whole point of a business is to generate cash. Mm-hmm. The best way to do that is to make a profit. And that's what I was walking these business owners through it, sort of a plan to make more profit year after year after year. So anyways, that morphed into what I'm doing now, which is, I call it the CFO project, Chief Financial Officer. The idea is that every business needs somebody to help guide the owner or the leader on how to make more of a profit. That's what CFOs do for big businesses. Big businesses have CFOs for one reason, that's to make sure that the business stays in business and has a growing profit, bottom line, whatever you want to call it, every single year. Well, big businesses need that, obviously, but every business needs something like that. So we make it really, really easy for a small business owner to have somebody like that by giving them one of our CFOs to create a plan for them. And we guide them every single month in having a growing and more profitable business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this concept. And I think that the more entrepreneurs I meet, and of course, they're usually sharp people, a lot of the skill sets, a lot of them have a good ability in maybe sales or a good ability in marketing or delivering their particular service, but understanding the financials and understanding how to get to that bottom line profit is a little bit elusive for them. So let's see. So what is your process? So let's say you've got a you're working with a dental office, right? And so they're working hard, they're working for years, they got their clientele up, but for whatever reason, they never can make more than a few percent profit at the end of the year. What would you do with them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I like how you mentioned dentists. That's a prime example. Most businesses that start in this country are service-based businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's because somebody who's an expert at a craft, so like a dentist, that person's trained in dentistry, they start a dental practice. A chef or a cook starts or buys a restaurant. Marketing guru starts an agency, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so all these people are great at their craft of their business, which means they spend most of their time, if not all of their time, working in the business. Mm-hmm. The dentist is working pretty much solely in operations on dentistry. But that person still owns a business and that person still has to make a profit. So to answer your question, there's really just what we do, the plan that we give business owners boils down to one thing. And that's to help the business owner focus every day, week, and month on the 3 to 5 things that matter the most.
How would you pick out those 3 to 5 things? So, I'm assuming those are like KPIs or, kind of a dashboard or a scorecard they're trying to create. How do you know what things to measure?
Yeah, so that's a great question because most businesses think that they have, when something's wrong in their business, they think it's a sales problem. And it could be a sales problem, who knows? But I have a company in South Florida, one of my clients, when they came to me a couple of years ago, they thought they had a sales problem. After digging into their business, it's not a sales problem. They had a gross profit problem with one of their services. Their sales were great, actually. But they were just working more and more hours in the business on sales because that's just what most business owners think is the problem. More sales solves everything. So to answer your question, to figure out the most important things to work on, I sort of have four steps to do that. And the first step is really just to dig in and do an assessment on the current state of the business. What are the red flags? What are the opportunities for growth? What are the financial trends, if you will, for the past 2 years? Mm-hmm. For sales, for gross profit, for net profit, for cash flow, and just see what sticks out. What are the red flags? What are the problems? So once we understand where the business is now, then we'll set sort of where we want the business to go. And a lot of businesses call this process the budget setting or whatnot. Mm-hmm. We don't really like to use those terms just because it's even though a business has to know where they're going, a budget sounds very restrictive. We tend to think of it as, all right, here's our target. Here's where we want to aim for. And because we're financial people and because business, the whole point of a business is to make a profit, we define all this, these goals, if you will, in financial terms, in numbers. Mm-hmm. So either dollar amounts, percentages, quantities, it doesn't matter. We just quantify it so that we know, is the business on track? Did they hit the goal, the number or not? Black and white. So anyways, so the first step was to figure out where the business is now. The second step is to understand where we want the business to go. And then the third step is to figure out the first thing that the business owner needs to do right now. The one giant domino that if you knock it over, it'll help everything, all the other dominoes fall over. We help them do that because, any business owner listening to this will know that there's a million things on your plate. I mean, there just is. And if we give a business owner 20 things to do, they're not going to do any of it. So we need to focus on one thing. And then the step three is really just every single month we'll analyze the financials and the business performance, those KPIs you talked about or the other metrics to see if they're on track. And then the next month, we tell the business, we give the business owner a plan of another, the very next thing, the most important thing that they need to work on right now. And we try to go no more than 5 things. We keep it around 2 to 5 most important things. The smaller the number, the better. And you know, but the key is once we give a business owner their plan for the month, those 3 to 5 things that they need to work on, we call them objectives. I don't know if you've heard the term OKRs.
Yeah.
It's a very popular business-y type term. It stands for objectives and key results. A lot of big businesses use them, like Google from the inception in 1999 started using these things, and they credit it to the scaling their business as much as they did. But all it is every key employee of the business and every department each has their own objectives. And those are the 3 to 5 things. We use the same terminology. We give the business owner 3 to 5 objectives every single month. And these are the most important things that they need to work on to stay on track to hit their financial goals. And if once we get into this and once the business owner gets used to these objectives, then we'll break it down and have their entire work staff, their entire team, give them their own objectives, which helps meet the company objectives. And so the idea is that we track and measure every single month whether or not they're on track to hit their yearly goals.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems basic, like, I could just do this on my own. And people are probably thinking, well, I could just do this on my own. I could write down my own goals. Why is it that when people try to do it on their own, they usually fail? Because I'm looking at your site and you quote the popular saying that most companies, half of them aren't even going to make it to their fifth birthday. I mean, most companies are going to go out of business. I always tell my clients, if you're an average company, then just plan to go out of business because that's what the vast majority do. Totally. So how is it different working with someone like you as opposed to just trying to just do it on their own?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you're absolutely right. Half of all small businesses never see their fifth birthday. And that's we didn't make that up. That's according to the Small Business Administration. Half of all small businesses never see their fifth birthday. And it's because it all boils down to the fact that these business owners were not working on what matters the most to stay in business. And here's the problem. You would think that an accountant or a bookkeeper might be somebody that you could go to, which they are. And if you have a bookkeeper or accountant that can help you do this, great. The problem is every single one of those 50% of businesses that fail, they all had bookkeepers and accountants. Their job is to record what happened in the past. That's what they're getting paid for. The second place that most business owners turn to for help is their employees. And they're just not in a position to help you. You know, business owners could, theoretically do this on their own, but it's so much better to have some sort of accountability partner, if you will, like a guide. I mean, Serena Williams, one of the best tennis players in the world, has a coach. I mean, think about that. She, I could barely play tennis. If I wanted to play somewhat seriously, I would definitely have to have a coach, but she's already at the top. And she still works with a coach because she wants to get better. And if you're a business owner, I mean, what's more important than making sure your business survives? And, we tell our clients, if we're not helping you at least cover our fee and more profit, then we would fire ourselves. I mean, it's what's more important than making sure your business not only survives, but actually grows in profitability. But the bonus to all this is that the business owner can then still stay focused on what they do best, which is what got them in the business in the first place. The dentist doesn't have to just all of a sudden stop being a dentist to focus on numbers and finance all the time. They can still focus on being a dentist while knowing that the part of their day that they're working on their business, they're working on the most important things that will make sure that they have an ongoing profit or growing profit.
Yeah, I love it. I totally agree with this philosophy, and I have seen it firsthand again and again and again. So what is, because you mentioned this idea of bookkeepers, accountants kind of getting the lagging indicators, right? So things that have happened over the last few months, you can look back in history. Are there any kind of numbers or leading indicators that you think people should be aware of and starting to measure?
Yeah, so there's 4 main ones. I mean, if you don't, regardless of the type of business that you're in, there's 4 main ones. Obviously, sales. And honestly, if you can break it down into sales, what I call revenue streams or departments, divisions, categories, whatever you want to call it, just the different areas of revenue. So measure total dollar sales, but then also measure your average transaction. So like the dentist, we'll use that as an example. That person should measure their overall sales, but they should also measure sales per patient, if you will. And then the second thing they should measure is the number of transactions you have. So the number of patients. So if you're a retail store, you should measure the number of orders that, you know, the number of orders at the cash register. And then you should also measure the average order value. You know, if you're an e-commerce store, number of orders, number of transactions. If you own a pest control exterminating company, the number of invoices, the average invoice value. Anyways, regardless, you should measure sales, which is made up of the number of transactions, the average transaction value. That's sales. So that's number one. The second thing is you have to measure your gross profit for each of those revenue streams because they're not all equal. If you own a heating and air company, you know, you have one revenue stream for repairs and maintenance. Then you have another revenue stream for new heating and air equipment sales. Mm-hmm. The cost to service those two different types of sales are vastly different. And so you've got to measure your gross profit, the amount it's costing you to make that sale. So you have to measure that for every single one of your revenue streams. Like that company I was telling you about earlier that in South Florida, they had several different revenue streams, but only one was the vast majority of their problem. They didn't have a sales problem. They had very small gross profit margins on one of their services, one of their largest services. And so we zoned in on that. They had no idea. I identified that, and that's what we zoned in on. And that all of a sudden, that had almost a $250,000 impact to their bottom line by just focusing on that one thing. Because because somebody else could have came in and saw the same thing. So it's not just us, but the fact is they had somebody else come in and point this out. And that's where they focus their time on. Without having somebody else come in, they would have focused all their time on growing sales. Well, they were just losing money on every sale, so that wouldn't have solved the problem. They would have just been more stressed out and overwhelmed. First thing, sales to focus on. The second thing is gross profit. The third thing is your net profit. The net profit, if you take your sales minus your gross profit, minus your expenses, that equals your net profit. So net profit is, you know, a large part of that is your expenses. And I tell clients all the time, if you do not know what the return on investment is. So every time you spend money, regardless if you're spending money on a new stapler or a $500,000 building, regardless, you have to know how much or have a good idea of how much return that expense is going to have. Because if it's not going to give you, if it's not going to pay for itself, you might as well not spend the money. You might as well keep the money in your bank account. I mean, why spend it if it's not going to give you a return? Mm-hmm. Same with insurance, same with employees, same with marketing. Why spend the money if you're not going to get a return? And I know it's really hard to measure some of these things, but to at least have the conversation with yourself. Like, are you buying it because you think it's going to help you improve your business? Or are you buying it because you think, because for some other vanity reason or whatnot? So anyways, so the first is sales. Second is gross profit. Third is net profit. The fourth and the most important is cash flow. At the end of the year, your business has to have more cash coming in the door than leaving. Bottom line, if you are operating at a negative cash flow, you have a couple of options. They're not really great options, but you have a couple of options. You could get debt. You could take on debt, you know, credit cards, loans, venture capitalists, whatever. Or you can get investors. But with debt, obviously you have to pay that money back. With investors, you have to give away a piece of your company. So the best way to do all of this to get cash is to make a profit. Yeah. So those are the four main, I mean, at a high level, those are the four main things that every business has to know where they're at all times.
Okay. So not just once a month, but trying to understand what got you there and then maybe even predict the future. So maybe if your sales is let's just say it's $1 million. Next year, you want it to be 2 million or gross profits at 30%. You want it lower to 20% or whatever it is, you're trying to make some adjustments in those areas. Now, the thing, I think a lot of people kind of get the standard things from their bookkeepers, you know, sales, gross profit, net profit. Cash flow is a little bit more elusive for measuring. A lot of people don't measure that. So how do you go about helping companies understand?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Cash flow is really difficult to measure. It's really difficult to forecast. It's really difficult to figure it out. Most business owners, their solution to that is just logging into their bank's website to see how much the cash they have. That's it. Which is great. At least you're doing something. You know, QuickBooks or other accounting software, they'll have a report called Statement of Cash Flows. I would not recommend anybody looking at that because it's very confusing. Unless you know what you're doing, it's very confusing to look at. Mm-hmm. I would recommend, and we do this for our clients, but if, you know, I would recommend anybody just getting an Excel spreadsheet. And then at the end of every month, just having five rows, if you will, five things that you're inputting in Excel every month. The first is how much cash is in your bank account. Mm-hmm. Okay. The second thing is how much profit you made for the month. So cash in the bank account, how much profit you have in the that you made for the month or lost. And the third thing is accounts receivable balance. Because that is one main area that impacts your cash flow. To make this really simple, if you had $0 in your bank account at the beginning of the month, the end of the month, if you had a $10,000 profit and all your customers paid you on time, in real time, then theoretically at the end of the month, you would have $10,000 in the bank account. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't work for a lot of businesses because a lot of them are service-based businesses, which works on invoicing and customers pay you much later. So you need to know where your cash is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think you should have your bank account balance, then measure, put in how much profit you have. And the third thing, of course, is accounts receivable. Because if you have if you made profit of $10,000 and you only have $5,000 in your bank account, where did the other $5,000 go? Well, if $5,000 worth of customers owe you money, that would be in the accounts receivable balance. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense. The fourth area, so we have cash in the bank, profit, accounts receivable. The fourth area is inventory. How much cash do you have tied up in inventory? A lot of people have inventory on their shelves that is waste. Essentially, it's piles of cash on your shelf. If you look at that, if you go to your stock room and look and think, man, there's $75,000 worth of cash sitting on these shelves, they would probably do a better job at managing their inventory. Mm-hmm. You know, employees can steal it and they could spoil. If you're a restaurant, you could have a lot of spoilage, but you got to do a better job of managing your inventory because that's literally cash tied up. Mm-hmm. So if you spent money on inventory, you need to know that that's where cash went. So that's why the fourth thing is inventory on that Excel spreadsheet. The last thing is draws. Some people call it, you know, owner draws, or, you know, it's just literally the owner of the business taking money out of the business to fund their personal lives, which of course it's your prerogative. You own the business, but that's also where cash is going. Mm-hmm. So literally the whole point of this exercise is to know where your cash is going. That statement of cash flows that I mentioned earlier, all that information is on there. It's just highly confusing. It's very confusing. But if you just simply keep track of those five things every month, and that way you can see where it's going. Hmm. So every month, keep track of the cash balance, keep track of the accounts receivable, et cetera.
So if you start seeing your accounts receivable balance creep up and up and up and up, then you might know that you have a problem on your hands. You need to address it.
Yes.
Okay. Or if you see that your inventory is going down or down or down or down, you're like, hey, I'm making some good cash, but my inventory is going down. So actually I'm in a worse or weaker position. So you can start to really see those trends and then come up with what your, what is the comfort zone of where you want to be, like the comfort bands of where you want to be with your cash. Okay.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a very high accounts receivable balance, like I have a client that has a really high, I mean, it's in like six figures and for the type of business they're in. And you're essentially the bank. You're loaning money to your customers and you're having to sacrifice. You're getting, you know, stressed because you can't meet payroll. Meanwhile, your customers out here have an interest-free loan. So you've got to stay on top of your accounts receivable. And many business owners don't even know what that is because they just don't look at it on a monthly basis. They'd rather have the sale than pay attention to the fact that this person owes me $40,000.
Yeah. And I would say this is probably one of the techniques that when I work with a company that maybe you do this too. Company that's really struggling financially, if they have backlog of accounts receivable, and their average is 60 days or 90 days to getting those accounts receivable. If I can give them a system where their accounts receivable aging is, you know, average of 15 days, then we just get all that cash sooner. And I tell them we can do this once. Once we get you to 15 days on average or 5 days or whatever it is, we probably can't improve it. So, you know, enjoy that influx of cash, but you can't expect that next month or the next month or the next month. It's going to be a one-time cash influx. And then you got to stay consistent with that system. And that can really help people get over a hump.
I agree.
That's interesting. Well, this is so helpful. And I know that a lot of people are not going to purposely educate themselves on, you know, managerial finance and accounting, all those things. Certainly when I was doing my MBA, those were the classes where I had to drink the most coffee just to make it through. But it's so important. It's so critical. And if you don't know where your money's going, then you'll lose it. It's going to go away. Yeah. It's inevitable. So with kind of the remaining time we have here, what's one question that I forgot to ask you, I should have asked you about, that you think is critical that small business owners know?
Hands down, their cash flow. They have to know how much cash is coming in and out of their business and, you know, and where it's going. Mm-hmm. Because cash is literally the oxygen of your business. If you don't have it, you're out of business. It's incredibly difficult to go get a loan, especially if you're a service-based business, because most bankers don't want to lend you money unless they have an asset that they can hold as collateral. Mm-hmm. Well, most business, you know, if you're starting a roofing company, if you own a roofing company, I mean, you may not have that many assets. So you've got to make sure that you are producing cash and you're doing the things that matter. I would rather have a business owner slow sales down if it protects the amount of cash that they have. If they can just build cash a little bit at a time rather than increase sales and take huge risk in their cash flow. Because if you want to go from 0 to 60 in sales, you're going to have to hire salespeople and ramp up your marketing efforts and all this, which costs cash. And that's why a lot of business owners, especially people that start businesses, they fail because they ran out of cash. So that's the number one thing. Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, he says it best. Your every dollar bill is like his kid. And he wants to protect his kids. That's the number one thing.
Okay. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you can have a great business, but if you have bad cash flow for a few months, you could be out of business. And it's quite sad. So I think it's critical. And I think it's smart for people to build some buffers in there, just plan for rainy days, plan for the fact that you might have some bad cash flow and plan ahead for those days because they're going to come. You're going to lose that big account. You're going to lose, you know, something's going to break. And you can't run your business so tight that if one bad thing happens, you're out of business because bad things will happen. It's inevitable. This is great. I really learned a lot. And I think what you offer is certainly something entrepreneurs can certainly get a huge benefit from. So, speaking of that, where can people find you if they want to learn more?
Yeah. So the website is the CFO Project. So the CFO as in Chief Financial Officer Project, .com. There's tons of information there. But also I created a special page for you guys, the CFOproject.com/work-the-system. If you go there, there's a calendar. There's a link to my calendar. I would love to speak with anybody. Just schedule a 15-minute call. There's also a couple of resources and ways to learn more about what we do and how we can help you have a growing and more profitable business.
Good, very good. Well, if you're having trouble with cash flow or you know the idea of studying all this stuff on your own is overwhelming, definitely reach out to Adam. And he'll be able to help you out. And again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today, whether you're live on Facebook or you're joining us on one of the other channels, thanks for joining us today on the Work System Podcast. Stay tuned next week. We're going to be sharing with you another podcast with a business expert like Adam or one of my previous clients to help show you how to make more and work less and do it in an efficient, stress-free way as much as possible. And also, if you want a copy of the book right there behind me, a copy of Sam Carpenter's book, the book that really started our business, the book is called Work the System. If you want a copy of that, leave us a review on either iTunes or YouTube or any channel you find us, wherever you're watching this, leave us a review and take a screenshot of that review. Email it to info@workthesystem.com and we'll be drawing a name out of the hat each week and mailing out a book, hardcover book, to someone each week. So make sure to do that and catch us next week. Thanks, everybody.